Now Rav Nosson Zal diverts a little bit. This is still within the same halacha, Yayin Esech Dalet. There's a sub-halacha where Rav Nosson Zal discusses the laws of Avodah Zorah and how that relates to our topic. Paragraph Yud. V'zeh b'chinas ma'ashom Rabbi Sein Zal, Avodah Zorah shel Yisrael ein lo bitl, v'chamura mishelakum. The shelakum, yesh lo bitl. The Gemara tells us a law that an idol which a non-Jew built and worships, if the non-Jew wakes up one morning, one day he's in love with the idol, and the next day he falls out of love with the idol. He don't love the idol anymore. And he says, you're nothing, you're garbage. And he takes it and puts it in the garbage. It's garbage. It's not Avodah Zorah anymore. And the laws of Avodah Zorah that apply to it no longer apply to it. If a Jew worships an idol, when a Jew worships an idol, once a Jew worshipped it, if the Jew says, I don't love you no more, you ain't my idol anymore, that idol still retains the properties of Avodah Zorah. The laws of Avodah Zorah still apply to it in terms of that you have to burn it, all kinds of different laws. So Rav Nosson Zal explains, Ki hakol nivra b'shvil Yisrael, because we know everything was created for the Jewish people. Ki kutche b'richo v'yraisa v'Yisrael kol achad. Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish people are one. The kol hachiyus shel kol ho'ilomois me'roi shvat soif hakol nimshach rak alidei Yisrael. And all of the life of all the different worlds, the heavenly worlds, the angels, everything, comes only through the Jewish people. Rak alidei Yisrael. V'afilu asitra achra v'haklipois kol hachiyus hamishtal shelem mehagdusha hakol nimshach miYisrael. Even the sitra achra and the forces of Tumah, all spiritual energy that comes to them comes only via the Jewish people. Shehem ikar v'shoyrish hakol. The Jews are the main thing and the foundation of everything. V'alkein Ein koyach la yetzor v'klipois kim k'shiyon kim Yisrael chasshom. The yetzor and the klipois have no power unless they're drawing energy from us, from the Jewish people. Ube'emes Yisrael heim rechoykim legamre me'ovoin. In reality, the truth is that Jews by nature are the furthest thing in the world from sin. It should be the most unnatural thing for a Jew to commit a sin. Lefi dakusam v'ruchniyusam b'sharoshem, based on where our soul comes from. A Jewish soul comes from such a high spiritual place that it's almost impossible and totally unreasonable for a Jew to be able to associate any way with a sin. V'ikr koyach hayetzahor olachtiyim chas v'sholem hualidei shemislabish atzmoy b'mitzvahs. Therefore, the main power of the Yetzirah to get a Jew to commit a sin is by cloaking himself in mitzvahs, by dressing up the sin in a mitzvah, making it look like a mitzvah. K'moy shemavoyer b'tchilas ha-sefer, as Rabbeinu Zal teaches us on page 1 in Likutei Moran, the first chapter on Likutei Moran, towards the middle, towards the end, where Rabbeinu Zal tells the story of Rabba Bar Bachana. Remember about the big tidal wave that's coming to drown the ship. And it says, but if you look at this tidal wave in the distance, it looks like a white angel. You see that white foam on top of the wave? It looks like an angelic thing. But really, it's a tsunami. This thing is out to wipe out totally, you know, the Kedusha. V'zeh nimshach al yidei b'chinas shed Yehudi. And this comes through a certain power called Shed Yehudi, k'moy shenemar b'Zohar HaKadosh, as the Zohar HaKadosh says, Sheyesh b'chinas shedin Yehudoin. There are Jewish shedim, like, in a sense. There are shedim. A shed is a destructive force, a force of tumah from the Jews, in a sense. V'heim yoinkim b'chinas noiga. They draw their power, their energy from noiga, which shehu b'chinas eitzadas toivara. Noiga is good and bad. Shemishom nimshach kol hatuusim v'chola bilbulim sheboilam. That's where all the mistakes and all the confusion that exists in the world, all of it comes from there, from that toivara, that place of good and bad, where good and bad are mixed up together, and it's easy to confuse one with the other. And the Yetzirah has the power to make bad look good, to make smoking and draw. You see a yeshiva guy, a yeshiva bachur who's 17 years old with a cigarette in his mouth, and you're looking, How did this happen? How did this guy, what in the world does this guy have to do with a cigarette? He don't have the money for it. He don't have the, how did, and the answer is because there are commercials, there's an advertising agency that spend trillions of dollars, billions and trillions, to make this look great, to make this look like the ultimate high in life, that this is what's going to make you look special, this is what's going to make you special, it's going to make you look special, it's going to make you feel special, and that's how people get turned on to whatever it is, whether it's food, whether it's drugs, whether it's cigarettes, whether it's women, all of these things are made to seem, these things which are destructive, they kill the person, literally they kill the, and they're made to look so attractive, beautiful, sweet, wonderful. Kihein bechinas lahat hacherev hamisapeches. They are associated with this item that the Torah tells us that when Adam Rishon was chased out of Gan Eden, Hashem put this sword that could go either way. That's a switch hitter, right, left. It changes colors. It changes into infinite colors. And to each and every single person, it plays with the person and it confuses him. It messes him up. Each person according to the thing that the Yetzer wants to mess him up with. And the main secret as to how the Yetzer Hara does this is that first he's got to dress it up, make it look good. He can't make it really look like what it really is because then the person won't touch it. He can't make bad, he can't present bad like bad, otherwise nobody's interested. He's got to make bad look good. He's got to make sin look like mitzvah. That's the key word here. And through that, he causes the person, he confuses the person. He gets the person to make a mistake. Until he hooks him, like you hook a fish. How do you hook a fish? You show a fish that, let me show you the thing you would want most. You're hungry, right? You're looking for worms. And you want to go to an optician to buy you glasses, special glasses to find worms. You don't need glasses. Come right, step right over. Here's a delicious, delicious, red, bloody, you know, thick worm. Just take a bite. It's being brought to you. You don't have to go search for it. And the fish grabs it, bites it, and the hook goes into his lip, and he says, ay, 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 I took the bait. I took the bait. I thought that this was going to be a delicious, I thought that I was going to have a delicious meal, and I didn't realize that I'm going to be the meal. I thought they're inviting me to dinner, and I didn't realize I am the dinner. I'm going to be the dinner. That's us. That's every single one of us. There's an angel, not a fisherman. An angel is a billion times more shrewd and sharp than a fisherman, and this angel knows his business perfectly, and he's fishing, and we're the fish. We're not the bait. We're the fish, and the bait is sins that are dressed up to make to appear as if it's mitzvahs, chas v'shalom. To the point where the Yetzer Hara can get a Jew to fall into Avodah Zarah. Like we know today, in the year 2009, there are Jewish kids who grew up in Israel. We're talking about good kids, delicious kids, who went to school and then did army service, and they put their life on the line to defend the Jewish people, Jewish nation. And then when they finish, after they get through all of that, somebody tells them that if you want, now you took care of your body, now do something for your soul. Come, let's get on a plane, let's go to India or to Tibet or to the Himalayas so that you'll have a spiritual experience now. And these kids get taken to Avodah, to Buddhism, Rahman, to actual Avodah Zarah in 21st century. 21st century Avodah Zarah. Kama Yisham Rabbi Sinus, like the Gemara says, Hayoyim Omeloya Seikach, that the way the Yetzer Hara works, today he says do this, and tomorrow he says do that. He don't take the person right away. He doesn't tell the person right away what he's looking to sell him. He goes inch by inch, slowly pulling the person in until he gives him the final bite, you know. Until he leads the person to commit actual major sins. And therefore, one of the main forces of the Yetzer Hara, one of the main weapons of the Yetzer Hara, and that gives him strength is machloikis. As Rabbeinu Zal discusses in other places, Vehishtadlusam shel hashedin yudon. This is the main job and effort of these shedim yudon, la'akem lev Yisrael, laharbois machlokes, to twist Jewish hearts and to get Jews to go against other Jews. To get a Jew to make machlokes against another Jew, to hate another Jew, to feel that that guy is wrong, that guy is bad, and it's a mitzvah to persecute him, to scream at him, to do anything I can to get rid of him, chas v'shalom. Because that gives them the power to dress themselves in many, all kinds of mitzvahs. That becomes a whole project. It's not just one mitzvah, it's multifaceted mitzvahs. Shemachnisin b'leiv kol hanoitachreim shechaveroi notome emes, whereby they inject into the hearts of those people who are willing to follow them that you see this Jew, he's off the path. He's doing the wrong thing. And he's an enemy to you. And therefore it's a mitzvah for you to hate him. And therefore it's a major mitzvah to push him away, to reject him, and to persecute him to the end. And other similar false ideologies. As this is prevalent in the world. Unfortunately, due to our many sins, this kind of stuff. And the main people whom these Shaden Yudon try to enter into is rabbis, Talmid Chachomim, who are not careful enough, who are not watching themselves carefully enough to make sure not to get caught into that web, not to get sucked into that mistake. Because the Yetzirah goes after them more than anybody else. He goes after rabbis, tell me, people who learn, people who are sitting and learn, they're his best customers. As the Gemara says, that the Yetzirah leaves the regular Jews, and he goes after the Talmidei Chachamim. He goes after the learned ones. They're his best customers. Ve'ikar his garusay bohem al yidei b'chinas sheden yehudoin. And the main way that he incites them, that he messes them up, is through these sheden yehudoin. These spiritual forces, she'mislapshim b'loimdim v'Talmidei Chachamim, they enter into learned people who are learning, rabbis, she'enom shleimim, who have not yet perfected themselves. These are people who are learning, and they are learned people, but they're not yet bishleimus. They still have Yetzirah, they still have Midos Rois and Taivus Rois. As the Zohar HaKadosh says this, this isn't Rav Nosson Zal talking, the Zohar HaKadosh writes this. Ubifrat Baraya Mehemna Parshas Nosoi, especially in the section in the Zohar HaKadosh called Raya Mehemna, which is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking. That's a shir delivered by Moshe Rabbeinu in the Zohar HaKadosh, in Parshas Nosoi. Ad shenis akim libom al haksherim huamitim, to the point where these rabbis and these learned people start having negative feelings towards other very, towards real religious people. Umatirim umetzavim lahodfam ulerodfam, and they give permission and they instruct their followers to persecute those other guys. That it's a mitzvah to scream at, to insult them, to embarrass them. They search to find all kinds of faults and things that are wrong with those people. Ad shenas etzla mitzvah lerod from chinam, to the point where it becomes a mitzvah to persecute them with no justification, with no real excuse. And this is what the pasuk says: lemi medonim, lemi siach. And Rab Nosson says, the word siach is Rosh Etevo, is Chacham Shed Yehudi. Shemehem kol ha-medonim v'horiv ha-machloikis. The word medonim means machloikis. Lemi medonim, what's the source? What's the root of machloikis? Siach. Chacham Shed Yehudi. These shedim yudoim who enter into these chachamim and twist their thinking a little and get them to think that it's a mitzvah to go after this one. Which chachamim are we talking about? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, the biggest tzaddikim of the generation. who went after Yosef HaTzadik. And they came to a conclusion that it was a mitzvah to kill him, right? That was an example. You have Lahavdol, you have Korach. Korach and 250 rabbis, Roshei Sanhedrin, leading rabbis of the Sanhedrin, who came to the conclusion that it was a mitzvah to persecute, to try to knock out Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, to take them out, to replace them, right? And this is throughout the generations, up to the Baal Shem Tov, up to Rabbeinu Zal, etc., etc. Shemimenu kol hamedonim voriv hamachloikas. That's the source. These chacham shed yudon, that's the source of all of this machloikas. Kemoy shemavur ba toira b'nilon beisa b'simen chavches likutei alef. As Rabbeinu Zal explains in Torah chavches in the first half of Likutei Imran. And all of this is based on what's written in chapter 36 that this halacha is based on. That from heaven only comes forth simple light, unformatted light. Hashem sends down light to the world. What kind of light? Or poshut, unformatted. It's not good and it's not bad. It's totally unformatted. Ulamato, when that light comes down into this world, hunitztayer lechol echod lefi hakeli shloi. The light takes shape and form inside of each person according to what kind of vessel he has. Just like water. What shape is water? Water is shapeless, right? Water takes the shape of the vessel you put it into. The light, the spiritual light that comes from Hashem is shapeless. According to your keli, that's what will decide whether the light of Hashem, whether you'll format it into a blessing or lahavdil into a curse, chas v'shalom. Ayin Shom Hetev, look over there very carefully in Torah Lamed Vav, where Rabbeinu Zal explains this. Shezeo b'chinas zocho nasa Torah loy samchayim. If a person is zoche, the Torah that he learns becomes an elixir of life, a medicine, something that makes him into a better person. And if he's not zoche, the Torah becomes a poison. The Torah turns him into a snake, a poisonous snake, who kills, who bites other people and kills people, spiritually and physically. Chas v'shalom. Loi zoche, not exactly. Umishom ikar habechira, and that's where the main bechira comes in. That's where the free choice comes in. Al kein, therefore, mi sheroitz alochos al chayv anitzchim, a person who cares about his eternal life, tzorich litzoik harbe l'Hashem yisborach, has to cry out a lot to Hashem, ulechavein daito l'Hashem yisborach b'chol eis, and to focus, to concentrate his mind on Hashem at all times. Ulevakesh milfon of Yisborach, and to plead with Hashem, to beg Hashem, she'elichelu bederech hayosher be'emes lamitoi, that Hashem should lead me on the right path, on the true path, the real truth. V'lo yanichenu litois esatzmoy klal, and Hashem shouldn't allow me to fool myself in any way, to think that I'm doing the right thing when I'm actually doing the wrong thing. Kize klal godol. This is a very important rule, what he's about to say. That whatever path a person wants to go on, Hashem leads the person on that path. Hashem gives the person free choice. You choose path A, I'll go with you on A. You choose path B, I'll go with you on B. Kemo shemotzinu etzel Bilam, as we find in the story of Bilam, She'omar lo Hashem Yisborach lechi mohem, whereby at one point at first Hashem says to Bilam, don't go with them, don't go with those messengers, period, tell them to take a walk. Then afterwards Hashem says to him, lechi mohem, go with them, however, whatever I tell you to say, that's what you should say. Even though Hashem's real desire was not for Bilam to participate in what they wanted him to do whatsoever. Hashem didn't want him to go curse the Jews at all. And yet Hashem agreed. This is what you want? Okay. And now Rav Nosson Zal says, V'yesh be'inyin zeh sisrei nistorois harbe. There are many hidden things and many secrets regarding this issue, regarding how Hashem works with us, and how Hashem gives a person the ability to choose what they want to do, and then Hashem plays along to a certain degree. Kishom ikra habechira, because this is where the main concept of free choice comes in. Shehi chidush nifla yoiser mikol hachidushim v'hanifloi shebor Hashem yisborach, kimavur b'sforim. This item called bechira is the most unusual and incredible thing in all of creation. And it's more unusual, more remarkable than anything else just about that Hashem created, as is written in Sforim. Ve'ikra b'chiro hi b'b'chinas zois. And the main free choice revolves around this, b'b'chinas b'derech shodom roitzel eilech molichnos. So regarding this statement, that whatever path a person wants to go on, Hashem leads him on that path. Kemo yisham rabbi senazal, as the Gemara says, haboli taher mesayin loy, haboli tamei poischon loy. If a person wants to become pure, they help him. Hashem helps him. If a person decides he wants to become impure, he wants to defile himself, he wants to be betamei himself, poischon loy. They open a door for him. Ukemo yishikosuv, and as the pasuk says, ki ato omol vochas, Tabit loses biodecho. You choose to be angry, etc. Hashem looks to give you the opportunity. Vze ikar golus hashchina, and this is the main concept of the Shekhinah going into exile or being in exile. Meaning, shekol echod kefi masov kein hu choivesh v'toifes es hashchina v'kutchebrichu kaviyachol begolus. Each and every single Jew, according to his actions, he can actually grab the Shekhinah and put the Shekhinah, imprison the Shekhinah, in a sense, with him. If he chooses to go into a bad place, chas v'shalom, and the Shekhinah is with him, then he's taking the Shekhinah with him into this bad place, chas v'shalom. Which, for the Shekhinah, that's considered to be golus, exile. Golus HaShekhinah, in a sense. Ad shenemar kavyochol, to the point where the Gemara says, Ein chovush matires atzmoy mibeis ha'asurim, that one who is in prison can't get himself out of prison, can't take himself out. It's very, very difficult for anyone to take themselves out of prison. And as the Zohar HaKadosh quotes this many times regarding the Shekhinah, that once the Shekhinah finds itself in prison, kaviyachol, the Shekhinah can't take itself out of prison. The Jew has to take the Shekhinah out of prison. The Jew has to do something to release the Shekhinah from its imprisonment, in a sense. And this is what Rabbeinu Zal writes in Likutei Moran Tanina, chapter 60, in the second half of Likutei Moran, Shal yidei sheloimdin letalmid she'enoi hogun nitvas betfisa chas v'shalom, that when a rabbi teaches a student who's unworthy, whom the rabbi shouldn't be teaching really, through that the rabbi can cause himself to go into prison, chas v'shalom. He causes imprisonment. There, Rabbeinu Zal bases this on a story with Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, that Rabbi Akiva was actually in prison at the time. The Romans had put him in prison, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal came to him and said to him, "Teach me Torah. And if you don't teach me Torah, I'll tell my father Yochai, and he'll have you put in prison." And it's a very strange kind of Gemara, very strange story in the Gemara. Rabbeinu Zal has a beautiful chapter in Likutei Moran where he explains what's going on over there. What did Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal mean? What was Rabbi Akiva's response, etc.? But here, Rav Nosson Zal is focusing on this concept that when a person teaches somebody that shouldn't be taught Torah, again, the words of Torah are the Shekhinah. And putting those words into a place where it doesn't belong, where it shouldn't go, is a concept of imprisoning the Shekhinah. And the penalty for that is that you yourself go into prison, chas v'shalom. Because by teaching somebody who you shouldn't be teaching, this person shouldn't be learning Torah at that time, or shouldn't be learning that particular Torah at that time, you can mess up that person worse. You can cause that person to do worse than they're doing without the Torah. Al yedei shehu einoy hogun, by the fact that this person is unworthy, umahapech divrei Elokim Chayim, and therefore this person twists or reverses the words of Hashem. They mess up the words of Hashem. We know, for example, what you have. There's a law in the Torah that if you know a person is not going to listen to you, if you tell a person on Shabbos, stop doing that. You're not supposed to do that on Shabbos. And if you know that it's very likely, that the person's not going to listen, you're not allowed to tell the person that. Because if you do, you're making it worse. When the person was doing this thing before, they might have been shogeg. Could be the person didn't know how forbidden it is. Now that you tell the person that this is asur from the Torah, and the person continues to do it or does it again, you're causing them to be mazed. Which again is worse. You're making matters. What person will say, what do you mean? I'm teaching Torah. This kind of teaching Torah is wrong. When you're teaching Torah, you have to choose who you teach it to. You have to make sure the person that you're teaching to wants to hear it and is ready to hear this specific item that you're telling them, and that even if they have to change their way, they're going to change it to conform with it. And by doing such a thing, by teaching someone who you're not supposed to be teaching, the person can be grabbing Hashem and grabbing the Shechina into his improper way of thinking, so that the light of Hashem will be formatted in a negative way, in a bad way. This is called putting Hashem into Golus. As if Hashem is trapped in prison. Because Hashem is trapped within the brain, within the mind of that student who you gave this Torah to. You taught the student Torah. The words of Torah went into his mind, but he's not listening. He's twisting it somehow. He's coming up with a conclusion that he doesn't have to do that. He doesn't want to do that. That kind of thing. So chas v'shalom, he's twisting the words. You know, sometimes he could be, it's the word I'm looking for, not twisting the words, misinterpreting the words, that kind of thing, you know, to conform with his way of life, with what he wants to do, chas v'shon. Ad shemuchrach kaviyochoy lahanhigoy ulesayoy kefidaitoy, to the point where Hashem is forced to lead this person and to help this person go along his path. Because here again, Hashem is the life inside of each and every one of us. So if a person is living the right way, Hashem is living with them the right way. If a person, chas v'shalom, is living the wrong way, he's taking Hashem with him. V'chol zeh machmas koyach habechira. And all of this is because of this concept of free choice, sheyesh lo toikef godol ma'oid kiyadua, which has incredible power, as is known. And this was the whole idea of Bilam, the Rasha, to get to lead the Jews into sin. And his idea was very deep. What he wanted to do. Ki rotzo lahachti daiko es gedoyla Yisrael. Because he didn't just want to get regular Jews to sin, he wanted to try to get the top Jews to sin. K'moshom Rabbi Sein Zal, as the Gemara says, shehamidyon es omro lahachti es Moshe. That the plan of Kozbi Basur was, she wanted to get Moshe Rabbeinu to sin with her. And that's why she asked them, how will I identify him? How will I know which one is Moshe Rabbeinu? So they told him that the Jews have a custom, a law, that they stand up for their leader. When you see all the Jewish people standing up, you know that must be Moshe Rabbeinu. What they didn't tell her was that they also stand up for the leader of a tribe, the Nosi of a Shevet. So that Zimri ben Soli, who was the leader of Shevet Shimon, which was 24,000 people, when he walked, 24,000 people stood up for him. So she saw that, she assumed that this was Moshe Rabbeinu, and she went after him. Ve'im sheze loyol sabodom, and even though their plan was not successful, Bilam's plan and this Midianus' plan was not successful, they didn't get Moshe Rabbeinu. Avlafal pikein hechti nosi mi Yisrael, manhig ador. They did succeed in causing a leader of a tribe, a leader of the generation, to fall, to succumb. Veloidai shechoto kolkach. Not only did he sin in a terrible way, afgam hesisoy habaldovar lohovi amidyonis lefnei Moshe, but the Yetzirah incited this leader of the tribe to bring this woman in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and to try to tease Moshe Rabbeinu. Am I allowed to be with this woman? No, how come you're allowed to be with the Midianite woman? And this was done in front of all the Jewish people. Ki rotzo lahatir aroyos befarhesia. Because this Nosi and the Yetzirah at that time wanted to try to get to make it permissible, to make public, in public, to make it seem as if it's permissible for the Jews to be with these Midianite women. What do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu has a Midianite wife. This was the main intention of Bilam HaRosha and the Sitra Achra at that time, lehizgaber berishosam kolkach at sheyahafchu ho'emes legamri lasos me'aver mitzvah v'kanal, where they wanted to succeed so much in their evil to the point where they would twist the truth, they would distort the truth to such a point to make something sinful seem like a mitzvah. Oh, you're not allowed to marry a Midianite woman? How come Moshe Rabbeinu did it? If Moshe Rabbeinu did it, there can't be anything wrong with it. It's got to be a good thing to do. Imagine trying to present this to the Jewish people at that time, and again, leaving out a couple of details, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's wife had converted, and she was a tzaddikus of the highest caliber, and these other women had no such intentions whatsoever. Ki Bilam hoyotome godoil, because Bilam was extremely impure. Kimo shom rabbi seinus, as the Gemara says, v'hizgaber berishosoy ubedarchei kshofov, and he worked at it. He worked at his evil, at committing sins, and using magic, his knowledge of magic, which was available at that time, at shemoshach al atzmoy ruach nevuah, to the point where he was able to draw upon himself prophecy. He was actually able to rise to a level of a prophet, which is an incredible level. Ad shehaya godol benevuah ma'od, to the point where he was at a very high level in prophecy. Kama Yisham Rabbi Senezal, as the Gemara says, that he paralleled Moshe Rabbeinu. It says there wasn't a prophet among the Jews like Moshe Rabbeinu, but the Gemara says among the Goyim there was. And who was it? Bilam. And all of this was so that there should be free choice, so that the Jewish people and the world should have the ability to have free choice. A human being has the ability to force, to take this power of prophecy by force, in a sense, to draw upon himself prophecy the way he wants, to draw upon himself heavenly light and to format it the way he wants. It's to take upon himself a spiritual power, a heavenly light of Hashem, and to twist it into a curse at the Jewish people. Bilam wanted to do that. V'alkein be'emes hoyu Yisraelos b'sakona gedoilo, and for this reason, the truth is that the Jewish people at that time were in tremendous danger. Kama shekosu, as the pasuk says, Ami, Hashem says, my nation, zuchor no mayot zalecha Bolach, remember very well what Bolach wanted to do to you, uma ono yisay Bilam, and what Bilam's response was. He was more than happy to help out. Ukama shekosu b'zoyer hakodesh, And as the Zohar HaKadosh writes, that from the beginning of creation, the Jewish people were never in danger like they were at that time with Bilam. There was tremendous sakana because Bilam really had incredible powers. All of this is because of the incredible power of a human being who has free choice. And he can grab, he can force, he can take the light of Hashem, in a sense, almost by force, and he can push it in whatever direction he wants to go. Aval Hashem Yisborach Chomal Aleim. However, at that time, Hashem decided to have pity on the Jewish people. V'tzier ho'or bi'atzmoy. And Hashem went against the rules, in a sense. Usually, we said that Hashem is dishing out light. What kind of light? Unformatted light. No format. Hashem's cranking it out. You twist it any way you want. You take it in whatever direction you want. But in the case of Bilam, Hashem made an exception to the rule. Hashem saw that if he does it, Bilam can take that light and he can chashon bring about the downfall of the entire Jewish people. What did Hashem do? Hashem jumped into the situation and Hashem formatted, pre-formatted light. Again, once upon a time, could you go into a store and buy a cake? Ridiculous, no such thing. You bought flour, you bought sugar, you bought it, you took it home, you bought unformatted light and you had to format it, period. Suddenly a new thing. You go into a store, ready-made. Ready-made cake, ready-made popcorn, ready-made, everything is pre-formatted. It's all done. You don't have to do nothing. Stick it in the oven or don't stick it in the oven. You know, all kinds of different options. So this is what Hashem did here. Hashem decided to jump in and pre-format it. He beat Bilam to the punch. So that whereas Bilam was expecting the usual flow of light and Bilam was ready to do his thing, suddenly he gets the light and the light is already all formatted. Can't reformat it at all. Bebechinas, Hashem chomal v'tzier ho'er bi'atzmoy bebechinas brocha. Hashem pre-formatted the light in a form of a blessing. It's already locked into a bracha. Can't change it. K'moy shemavur sham, as Rabbeinu Zal explains in chapter 36 in Likut Imran. V'alkein, going back to our discussion, V'alkein ikar arichas hagolus al yedei hamachloikes v'sinas chinam. And it's therefore the main reason why we, the Jewish people, are suffering in such a long exile is because of the machloikis among us and the sinas chinam, the hate, the lack of friendship, the lack of good feeling from Jew to Jew. Ki zois hoya bochreinu. This is our worst enemy. This is our real problem. Kaideze chorav bayis sheni. Because this is the reason that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Kamaisham Rabbi Seinuzal, as the Gemara says, Va'adayin merakeid beinon. And this Yetzirah is still dancing among us. This problem is still alive and well with us, Rachmona Litzlan. Umarich hagolus alideze beyoser. And this is what's causing the golus to continue more than anything else, and to continue for such an incredible long time. Ki afal pi shebavonoseinu rabim yesh harbe avonos, because even though, unfortunately, there are many sins, many different sins being performed, ubifrat pigam habris, and especially pigam habris shemotzui mo'od, which is very prevalent. Hashem Yisborach Yatzil Habo, may Hashem save us in the future. Hafal Pikein Hakoil Hoyo Mistakein Al Yedei Tzadik HaEmes Shebechol Dor. Despite that, everything could be fixed. Everything could be straightened out, corrected through the Tzadik HaEmes in each and every generation. Shehu Meir BiYisrael Drochim Kedoshim Amitim. He has the ability to shine into the Jewish people true holy paths, wisdom, knowledge of Hashem, lahashiva midarcheim horoim, to get us to do complete tshuva, to turn around completely from the mistakes, from the sins that we're doing and everything, ulesaknom kulam, and to correct all of us, to fix everything. The tzaddik emes has the ability to do that in every single generation. Ach habaldovor hispashet loorkoi ularochboi, laharchik ma'oid me'atzadiku emes sheyesh lekoach hazeh. However, the baldovor, the yetzahara, the satan, has extended himself in every direction. He's stretching himself in all ways to do everything in his power to keep people away from that tzaddik, from the tzaddik who's in a position to fix everything. Ki boide olav shkorim uchzovim. The Yetzirah creates all kinds of lies and everything. Olav on this tzaddik, val kol anilvmei lov, and against all of those who are close to the tzaddik, who are attached to the tzaddik. Bechayov, both during the lifetime of the tzaddik, ula achar histalkusoi, and even after the tzaddik passes away, the Yetzirah is still going at it to generate all kinds of lies and false things about the tzaddik so that people will not read his sforim, so people will not go to his gravesite, so people won't come close to him. This was during his lifetime and even after his passing. Ad shehislabesh begedoyli hadorim, to the point where the Yetzirah has gone inside of leading rabbis. He has cloaked himself in leaders of the generation. Interesting, somebody just recently, 2-3 days ago, somebody was talking to us, person who attends the shir sometimes, and this was the magic word he used, Gedolei Hador. That's the terminology that's used on the streets today. What do you mean? These rabbis are the Gedolei Hador, and they're the ones who say XYZ. Doesn't that mean that everybody is required to listen to them? They're the ones who are the Gedolei Hador, right? Ad shehichnis bohem, to the point where the Yetzirah injected into these rabbis, shemitzvah lerodvam ulahodvam, that it's a mitzvah to persecute those people who are close to the true tzaddikim, and to mess them up, to get people not to marry them, or to divorce, even to go so far as to cause divorces, all kinds of things. All of this is because these people who think they're so smart, they're smart in their own eyes, these leaders who go against the true tzaddik, they are chachamim sheidin yehudoim, like the Zohar HaKadosh says. Shehim mehapchim ho emes tomid. They twist, they pervert the emes. They can take the emes, they can make sheker look like emes, and emes look like sheker. Ki mishom ikar koyach hayetzahor v'kanal. Because this is the main place where the Yetzahor gets his power, is able to really succeed against the Jewish people. If he can block that true tzaddik from being able to accomplish what only he can accomplish, then the Yetzirah wins. Good, you have Superman with you, everything, tough luck. Nobody wants to know him. Nobody wants to get near him. People are being told to stay far away from him. So what if you have a Superman? V'alkein iker hatikun al yedei hamshochas amitas ho'emes hanimshach me'oiroi shel Moshiach. And therefore, the main tikkun is dependent on drawing the real truth, the ultimate truth, which comes from the light of Moshiach, shemis noitzeitz betoich toikev hagolus, which is shining even in this severe, in the worst golus that we're going through right now. Without that light, we wouldn't be able to exist at all. We wouldn't be able to survive at all in the golus that we're going through now. And it was the only way that we're able to survive is by drawing some thin rays of that incredible bright light of Moshiach. Ki ikar gmar hatikun yihyeh al yidei Moshiach tzidkenu, shehu Moshe biatzmoi. Because the one who's going to really complete the tikkun and finalize the tikkun is going to be Moshiach, who is Moshe Rabbeinu himself. K'mo shekosuv, as the pasuk says, ad ki yovoi shiloi, until Shiloh will come. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, do Moshe Moshiach. That refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, who is referred to as Moshiach. The word Shiloh is bigematria Moshe. Ki oz yisakein ma sheto ba'akos hatzur. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu will correct completely the damage that was caused from the mistake of striking the rock, when he struck the rock. Shemishom nimshach shoresh hamachloikes bigdusha. That's the root, that's the source of all machloikes of kedusha. Kamashikosu bezoyer kodesh, as the Zoyer Kodesh says, il mole hika Moshe batzur. If Moshe Rabbeinu had not struck the rock, loy havatarchu rabbonon b'shmeitzah, our rabbis would not have to struggle so much in clarifying the Gemara, clarifying the Torah Shebal Peh. There wouldn't be this confusion, this lack of clarity, and this debate, all of these arguments within Torah Shebal Peh, where nobody knows what's the real halacha, what is the real meaning. Kimei hakoas hatzur, because from the act of Moshe Rabbeinu striking the rock, shaydeze tarchi rabbonon b'shmeitzo, that's what brought about the confusion, the lack of clarity in Torah Shebal Peh. Aydeze nisrabu machlekes b'Yisrael b'dinei Torah. This is what initiated and caused there to be so much machlekes in Klal Yisrael about the laws of the Torah. You have the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. Every Mishnah, he says yes, he says no. He says kosher, he says posel, he says tohar, he says tameh, right? The whole Torah Shebal Peh, full of that. That all was brought about when Moshe Rabbeinu struck the rock. That's what caused this unclarity, this situation where the truth of the Torah became something that we don't know anymore. We're not sure. Is it this? Is it this? Umishom nishtalshel hamachloikis the sitra achra sheben Yisrael. And as a result of this machloikis of Kedusha, when those rabbis in the Gemara are arguing, they're arguing with the greatest of respect and love. The Gemara tells us that Hillel and Shammai had major disagreements about whether you're allowed to marry this woman or not allowed to marry. This one said you're allowed to marry this woman, this one said you're not allowed to marry her. It's treif. And the Gemara says they always married into each other. They knew that this particular scenario, my rabbi said to stay away from her. So I won't marry her, I'll marry her sister, I'll marry this, you know. But there wasn't machloikis which led to disrespect or hate or saying that the other one was wrong, crazy. My rabbi says like this, his rabbi says like that. They're both right. They're both elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, like the Gemara says many times. These and these are both the word of Hashem. And when from the machloikis of Kedusha, when it evolved into machloikis of the Sitra Achra, shaydeiz, among the Jewish people, where they became the other kind of machloikis, you are nothing, that kind of thing, chas v'shalom, shaydeiz nechrav ha-beis hamikdash. This is what brought about the destruction of the second beis hamikdash. Vaydeiz nis'arech ha-golus. And this is the main cause of this long, long, terrible exile that was suffering. V'hatikun, and the tikun for it is, shal yidei zeh, v'hatikun al yidei Moshiach. And the tikun for this is going to be Moshiach, shehu Moshe Atzma, which is Moshe Rabbeinu himself, the one who supposedly caused the problem, he's going to rectify the problem. By the act of striking the rock, as we said. Which again, there's incredible, incredible depth to that. The Zohar HaKadosh explains what that was all about. And Rabbeinu Zal has a magnificent, magnificent, one of the most deepest, most profound chapters in the Holy Kutimran, chapter 20, where Rabbeinu Zal gives his explanation on what was going on there. When Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to the rock, and Moshe Rabbeinu struck the rock, what it was all really about.